If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
You are listening to
Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Hey, what's going on? It's Metal Shop and Metal Shop's Backstage Pass. We're talking about with Ivar Sendoy from Enslaved. Now, let's get this out of the way. I said Ivar, and I apologize.
It's no, it's totally fine. Like I've heard, I guess the Scottish pronunciation would be Ivar, but Norwegian is Ivar. So, because yeah, but let's not get into that. It's confusing. So Ivar is fine.
I really wish that I had the talent to roll my R's like that. That is awesome. right on. Well, the new Enslaved album, Utgard, is available now. It's been out for a couple weeks now. I believe this the first full Enslaved album that you play drums on?
That is correct. And since you were going on about pronunciation, let me just compliment you and say that you pronounced Utgard perfectly.
Nice. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, it's some people may know that I've been producing and co-producing for Enslaved for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Since Axioma, Ethica, Odini. But this is the first time that I've done a full album as a drummer, and I'm now a full-time member of the band. So yes, you're totally correct.
So let's talk a little bit about that. What was that like transitioning from being the producer and the person? I'm sure you had a great relationship with the band, so much though that you kind of just slipped in and became the drummer. What was that like transitioning from an assistant role and the producer and the recording of the band to now you're in the band? And you also have to record your band.
Yeah. Well, we have such a long history going back 20 years now.
Wow.
With me and Enslaved and the bands that I was in, we kind of felt a kinship with Enslaved in the experimental era that they started to get into back then. And we even had a side project, Ivar Grutle and me, 20 years ago, that just in the rehearsal space. So we didn't do anything back then. And so it's just a friendship that has developed into also a professional relationship over those 20 years. I remember the first time they asked me to sub on drums was actually back in 2002, I guess, when their drummer back then broke his foot.
Uh-huh.
And I think it was even him that said, well, ask Eva then. but back then I couldn't do it, so I recommended my good friend who is now a drummer in a Norwegian band called Blood Red Throne.
Oh, that band kicks ass, yeah.
Yeah, so he's a very old friend of mine. And so he got to do a couple of dates with Enslaved back then, until the drummer's foot healed.
Yeah.
So it's from stuff like that. And then when Kato, the former drummer, suddenly had to go somewhere to fish. He's a professional fisherman. Mm-hmm. Back in 2006, that was the first time that I actually did a couple of gigs with Enslaved. And so it's just been a very natural progression, both for me and for them. But it wasn't the easiest of decisions, because I kind of had enough on my plate as a musician, and especially with producing, which is now my main gig. So I had to have a good long think about it. But I had actually been telling my girlfriend during the year leading up to this. Uh-huh. I was because the whole production thing was going so well, and I was saying, well, you know, I did spend quite a few years practicing drums and getting that to work well. So I wouldn't mind if I got out and played more too.
Yeah.
So it was a classic example of careful what you wish for, I guess. Because I got the evening, I think they were on tour in Russia, mm-hmm. Enslaved. And out of the blue, I just got a text message from Grutle, the singer, saying, well, that's it. Kato has quit. And if you don't join now, I'm quitting.
Oh, that's a lot to put on your plate.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he would have quit, but he was kind of emotional and oh, come on, man. Now you just have to join. So
now that's just like pressure. You're like, God damn it, I can't be the reason Enslaved ends. Okay, guess I'm doing it.
Yeah, and Ivar has also said that okay, if Ivar didn't accept, then maybe we would have taken a break, or because he says that the list consisted of one name for candidates. But all that, I don't know how serious that is, because they asked me and I said, well, that is a huge decision and I will seriously consider it. And then we had like a couple of weeks where we kind of danced around and discussed different things. I'm sure it would have worked out, but we kind of decided between us that wouldn't it also be kind of cool that we just do this within the, keep it in the family, basically, because we were kind of tight-knit with the band and me being almost part of the band even before Kato quit, so we just decided that this was the most natural thing, and I just had to make room in my calendar.
And now Enslaved has two Ivars, so you are now officially the most Scandinavian band ever.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of confusing with that whole name thing. I won't bore you with it. But, his name is
A-R.
Sorry. I-V-A-R. And my name is I-V-E-R.
Yes.
Which is like totally confusing and no one gets it right. And it's and even Ivar in his dialect pronounces my name almost exactly like his own, so it's I totally get it, it's confusing.
Yeah.
And with the Norwegian titles, and I guess we're hopeless, we don't know how to make life easy for our fans.
It's pretty awesome, man. It's like we can live our Norwegian fantasy through just listening to through your music, so I love it. So Enslaved, now at this point, I would consider kind of like legendary in the like Norwegian black metal scene and more like progressive music at this point. But growing up, were you pretty steeped in like the Norwegian underground and in the like early 90s black metal scene? What was that like growing up in that area and like kind of witnessing that and probably seeing some of those bands and just being a part of that? What was that like from your perspective?
Well, I have to speak like 100% from my perspective, what I was part of was the late 80s thrash metal.
Nice.
When that kind of reached Norway.
Yeah.
And the harder and I guess early death metal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We had bands like operating in those genres, but then for me, I kind of fell out of the whole metal thing almost exactly when the Norwegian black metal thing was happening.
Okay.
And also I lived in a part of the country that didn't really have any bands doing the black metal thing, and mm-hmm. You have to remember, back then it was like communications and the whole logistics of traveling in Norway was so different from what it is now.
Oh, yeah.
That just, back then I lived like close to where I grew up, which is kind of in the middle of Norway on the coast there. And just traveling to the capital or to Bergen, where I live now, to go to concerts and stuff, it was totally, it was unthinkable. It wasn't within my means.
When you're a kid, especially, yeah.
Yeah. So of course, there was so, we were aware of this stuff happening. And like being a metalhead at heart, you kind of, you followed it a little bit. But for me personally, I was not part of that scene at all. I will not claim to be part of any inner circle at all.
Yeah. Okay. So you weren't the.
So it was more like it was observing it. Yeah. From the outside, and it got. And I've discussed this with the enslaved guys who were a bit more. They saw it from a closer distance.
Yeah.
To put it that way, and the whole thing started with people being passionate about music and trying to do something unique with music, and then it kind of got weird for a couple of years, and but then the bands kept focusing on the musical side of it, and that's why you have so many of those bands having the longevity that they've proven to have, like Enslaved and
oh yeah.
And quite a few of the other ones as well. It's just the music prevailed. I think we'll leave it at that, because all the ridiculousness, kind of that was just I don't even know if it had value. Okay, it got the genre known, but
yeah.
But it made it more infamous than it needed to be. It took the focus away from the music, basically. So I know that a band like Enslaved, they were really frustrated by that whole thing. And of course, 30 years later, they're kind of tired of speaking about it, I think.
I would understand why. And the thing about Enslaved is like, you, there could be, you know, kind of, there would absolutely be an audience for a band that wanted to just, you know, kind of cash in and wear the corpse paint and continue for 30 years to just kind of write the same, you know, kind of music and not really progress. But Enslaved is so interesting that they just continue pushing it in different directions, and you know, they're like the Pink Floyd of black metal, in the sense that they're just so.
And as an outsider back then, they were always they were even very vocal about not being a black metal band back when the whole thing started.
Yeah.
They were the lyrics dealt with the totally different subjects and. And yeah, that experimental side to their music was always there.
Absolutely. Well, so we're, you know, smack dab in the weirdest year ever. What are things like look like in Norway? Obviously, you know, probably from the news, like what things like look like in the United States. But what do things look like in Norway? Are you able to go to, you know, I'm assuming not concerts, but are you able to attend small gatherings? Or are you on full lockdown mode? What do things look like in your country right now?
Well, I have to say we are probably right now we must be one of the most privileged countries in the world. We have death toll is. I think it's below 300.
Wow, that's really awesome. That's great.
Yeah, we have restrictions, and it's still pretty strict, but it's not in lockdown mode anymore.
Good.
And we are actually allowed. We can now put on gigs for up to 200 people. Actually.
Wow.
Yeah, as long as they can, as long as you can keep the one meter. The 3 feet distance between people, and most venues here, they're so, and even the bars are open. as long as you keep the social distancing.
And everyone wear a mask?
People putting on the venues, they're so professional about it.
Yeah.
There hasn't been really a single case of the virus spreading due to people attending the theater or concerts. So that's really been a success. But, of course, you have the limit of 200, so
yeah,
no one's really making any money because
yeah,
you need to let more people in.
It sounds like
But compared to other countries, yeah, we're really lucky.
I gotta tell you, man, I would do obscene things to go see a concert with 200 of my friends. But I don't know if that's gonna be happening anytime soon. So congratulations. Have you gone to see any bands?
Yeah, I think the first gig I was able to go to was in a backyard with they had taped up like this is your square.
Yeah. Okay. No mosh pit. Yeah.
This is just no mosh pits and it was just 50 people.
Yeah.
That was the limit back then in the local doom band, and I have to say, like, 3 months without live music and then going to a gig, it was, that feeling was just euphoric. I promise you, when you're able to do it, it's just you get a renewed sense of the reason why we all love this.
Absolutely, man. You know what? I probably sound really jealous right now, but congratulations.
Well, thank you. And I almost feel bad for telling you. We're actually, the plan now is that in a couple of weeks we are actually going to do 2 gigs with Enslaved.
Wow.
In Norway.
That's awesome. Are they going to be indoor or outdoor?
Indoor, seated.
Wow.
Of course, because people have to be sat at tables and the appropriate distance. So it will be weird. It will be very weird.
Yeah.
It will be, still, we will be performing in front of people, and I can't fucking wait.
That's so cool. That is so cool. Oh, man. Okay, well.
So there is.
Yeah.
Basically, there is hope. There is hope, man.
That's awesome, man. I appreciate you. You kind of giving me that little glimmer of hope. And then obviously with science and following that and having the vaccine here in the United States and potential, then, you know, things will, you know, slowly trickle back and we'll all be able to see. And then maybe, you know, we'll see you guys on tour and obviously.
Oh, yeah. We're longing to get back to the States, like, definitely.
And then people will listen back to this interview in a couple of years and be like, what the hell? I totally remember when we were all locked inside for 6 months. That was weird.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... yeah, what to say? This will be... hopefully, we too can look back at this year and say, do you remember? That was weird.
Exactly.
But it passed.
Where were you guys at with the recording of the album when the pandemic hit? Did you guys have the album finished?
Well, we were really lucky in that sense as well, because I think we got the finished master on Christmas Day, basically. It was
that's awesome.
A Christmas present. So we started recording properly. Like, we went into the studio when all the demos were done.
Yeah.
I think that was 1st of November. And then, so it was pretty efficient, and the album was done. So we had started planning the release schedule it was supposed to be released in May.
Yeah.
And then we just had to postpone it because we couldn't even get it printed in time.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So because everything in Europe closed down, like all the plants, the pressing plants. I guess it must be the same in the US.
It was for a while, yeah.
Yeah, just back then it was like that all over the world. Like, they weren't allowed to go to work. No one,
exactly.
No one was. So, but once again, we were so lucky compared to so many other bands in that we had planned a pretty relaxed summer. We had like 6, 7, 8 festivals planned, and then we were then the touring would start around now, basically. So we weren't even in that sense. We were lucky in brackets in that we didn't have like a huge tour planned and tickets booked and stuff for this spring. We had actually planned to do not. We hadn't too hectic of a schedule.
Okay.
Laid out. So so once again, we're lucky bastards.
I like that. Enslaved, the lucky bastards of Norway.
We're all healthy and
good. Yeah.
And living in Norway, like we talked about. So yeah, lucky bastards we are.
So are you still working as a producer right now? Like during, you know, this time, are there any, you don't have to really go into what you're working on, but are you still pretty busy with projects?
Oh yeah. Yeah. People are keeping busy, making music, definitely. So, I'm one of the, I just keep repeating myself with how lucky we are.
Lucky bastards. So, that'll be the.
I have had work, definitely less than in a normal situation. Let's not forget that. But we have been able, after the first couple of weeks when it was just total lockdown, I couldn't, in, with a good conscience, have bands in the studio. And we still kind of restricted.
Yeah.
There are no big band recordings. And choir recordings in in tiny rooms, to put it that way. But mixing and recording like smaller ensembles is now possible. So
when I look at your Skype image, it's a beautiful photo. Is that a photo of your studio? And what are you looking out? It looks like you're looking out at an ocean. Or a lake?
That is actually that is not my studio. It's,
okay.
It's a studio called Ocean Sound in Norway. It's very close to where I grew up, so it's kind of the studio that's located on an island close to the island where I
that's
I grew
beautiful.
Up. So the view is actually out into the ocean.
Wow.
It's fantastic. It's a great studio. So I've done a couple of productions there. It's a residential studio. Like bands can travel there to record. Actually, they have a lot of international customers. So I think they're struggling a bit with their business. But they did tell me that there were several American artists that contemplated just going there and spending their quarantine.
Seems amazing. Sounds awesome.
Recording at that place. Yeah. So I'm guessing we can see stuff like that happening.
Hopefully, yeah.
As long as there are any funds left in the music business at all.
Well, dude, I don't want to take up all your time today, and I really do appreciate you. It's around your dinner time over there in Norway. So I just have a couple more questions for you. And this one, because I know, you know, we're all music nerds and we all grew up loving this stuff, and all of these albums have made an impact on our lives. If you could, what are four albums that have, you know, made an awesome and positive impact on your life?
Ooh. Yeah, good question. But of course, there have been so many of those 10 album challenges.
Oh yeah,
stuff like
Facebook
that
and stuff
going
yeah.
around. So yep. I did one of those. So it's not. I can conjure up some of the central pieces of my musical upbringing.
Yeah,
I have to say, like the first album that I really delved into and spent like massive amounts of time with was Magical Mystery Tour with the Beatles.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
The album version that has both Strawberry Fields and Penny Lane on it.
Yeah.
And I remember my brother, who is 4 years older than me, came back from holiday around, I must have been 10 or something.
Okay.
And he came back with this cassette, Magical Mystery Tour on cassette.
Uh-huh.
That was the one album that I had.
Okay.
I just listened to over and over and over. So that's one.
Yeah.
And then I guess the next one, that again, my brother bought, got me for Christmas in 1985, was Maiden, The Live After Death.
Yes.
Again, on cassette, double cassette. So that's probably early damage to my hearing with my little Sony Walkman.
Yeah.
Just listening to that album over and over and over. And it's an amazing album.
Oh, yeah.
Still, I hold it very dearly. Can't say I put it on like every week anymore, but it must be in my DNA by now.
Oh, absolutely. You don't have to listen to it. You can just recall it in your mind.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Recall the feeling I got from listening to it.
Oh, yeah.
And so you can't get past Master of Puppets.
Oh, of course.
No.
Groundbreaking.
It's like unhip nowadays to cite Metallica as an influence, but it's kind of like, for metal music, it's kind of like the Beatles for all other kinds of music.
Yeah.
If you say that you're not influenced by Metallica, you're actually lying.
Yeah, you're a poser. If you're not a poser if you like Metallica, you're a poser if you say you don't like Metallica. Come on now.
Yeah, they were like the biggest influence on so many of us for a couple of years there. And just by the fact that they influenced so many bands that people got influenced by down the line. So we can't dethrone Metallica. They are what they are. They're the biggest band, and I will always give them credit for those first four albums.
Oh, yeah.
Which I kind of fell off after that. I'll admit to, I'm one of those hipsters that that didn't, like, kind of fell off when the Black Album came. But I was 17 by then, and I had other interests.
Yeah.
So around that time, I was getting more into Zappa and Primus and stuff like that.
Getting weird.
Yeah, so I'll have to cite Zappa in New York. That was like the album that I really listened to with Terry Bozzio on drums.
Wow. Okay.
I had that CD. So are we? Yeah, we're
yeah.
We're
that's four. Albums now. Yeah, sounds good. Throw them all together, and that's your musical DNA.
Kind of. Yeah. Part of it, anyway.
Right on, man. Well, my final question for you, dude, is could you pick a scar on your body, anywhere on your body, any scar, and tell us the story of how you got that scar?
I have a little scar on my left index finger, just on the second joint, that I got from when the knife slipped while cutting carpet.
Oh, no.
I was, like all musicians, you have to have side jobs. So
oh, yeah.
My side job was actually kind of luxurious. It's the theme of this conversation, lucky bastard. I was working at an art gallery and just putting up exhibitions. So at this particular exhibition, they had to cover all the floors with carpeting. So I was cutting alongside the wall, and the knife slipped and just cut deeply into my index finger.
Oh my god!
But no harm done, luckily.
Yeah.
Other than the scar, to
show
for it.
That could have been scary with, you know, being you know, you're so relying heavily on your hands as a drummer and stuff. That could have been bad if there was nerve damage.
Oh yeah, the thought did cross my mind, and it felt weird there for a while, and I was a bit worried for a couple of weeks, but then it kind of, yeah.
But hey, we're back to the theme, lucky bastard.
Yeah, again, you lucky bastard.
Exactly. All right, man. Well, we're here in Seattle. Hopefully, sometime in the future, we'll be able to see Enslaved live. Seen you guys a few times. Actually, the first time I saw Enslaved, it was the first concert I ever saw a little band known as Ghost.
Oh, yeah. They toured with Enslaved. That's true.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, who's this? I was here for Enslaved and get to see this band. And now Ghost is like one of the biggest bands in the world. So pretty crazy. Yeah. So do you have any final words for the Northwest audience? Obviously, go pick up the new album, Utgard. But do you have any final words for the Northwest audience?
Well, just hang in there, guys. Just hope that things will work out for us all in due time. And my prediction is that it won't be like opening the floodgates, but slowly,
yeah,
but surely, we will get back to a situation where we can actually see each other again and. Really miss going to the States. So in half a year or a year, see you there.
I appreciate that, man. And good luck on those couple shows you guys are going to be playing. That kicks major ass.
Thank you very much.
This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.